Our first scripture lesson today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Then disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God."
Our next scripture reading comes from the Psalms. It is probably one of the more recognizable Psalms, Psalm 46. So I invite you to listen to familiar words with new ears as we listen for God's word in our own lives. God is our refuge and strength in a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. God utters. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations God has brought on the earth. God makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Well, this morning I want to continue our brief two-sermon series on civil discourse in times of discord. And this morning, as a part of looking at our civil discourse in these times of discord, I want to share with you something that will change your life. Now that sounds like a big promise, doesn't it? And it is. And it's not a secret. It's It's not very complicated. As a matter of fact, once we realize what I'm talking about, it is very obvious and simple. But sometimes the obvious and simple are the things that we humans like to obscure the most when it comes to seeking and knowing the truth around us and within us. The truth which literally saves us. The truth that we talked about in a series a few weeks back as being the very essence of our being. The truth that Jesus said He comes to reveal to us. So as we begin to explore this concept that changes our lives, I want us to listen again to the words of the prophet Isaiah that we heard earlier quoted by Jesus. Seeing, they do not perceive, and hearing, they do not listen. Nor do they understand. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn. This word turn is also the word that we often translate in Scripture as repent. We do not look, we do not listen, we do not see, we do not understand, and because we don't, we cannot repent. But repenting is exactly what we need. And repenting in the sense of turning. Turning away from what is present and turning toward a new understanding. I want us to listen to a little parable. This is just a brief parable. Not from Jesus, but from author Anthony DeMello. Imagine a patient who goes to a doctor and tells the doctor their symptoms. And the doctor says, "Very well, I've understood your symptoms. Do you know what I will do? I will prescribe a medicine for your neighbor." And the patient replies, well, thank you very much, doctor. That makes me feel better. Rather absurd, isn't it? But that's what we all do. The person who is asleep always thinks they'll feel better if somebody else changes. You're suffering because you are asleep, but you're thinking, how wonderful life would be if somebody else would change. How wonderful life would be if my neighbor changed, my wife changed, my boss changed. You see, that's the trap we're caught in. And here is the life-changing truth. Your happiness, your joy, your knowing that you are loved and lovable, your peace, your salvation, your life depends on you. Now, I know that probably sounds strange and maybe even a bit blasphemous to say out loud. But deep down within our souls, the truth resonates. And even our scriptures continually tell us that we really find peace and joy and salvation and eternal life within. When Jesus was asked, "What must I do to have eternal life?" What did Jesus say? Jesus says, "Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us. The answer is quite simple, but very difficult to live. Because we are so used to expecting someone else to take care of our problems. We expect even God to take care of our problems. And the message of the gospel over and over and over again is the kingdom of heaven is here. It's all around you. Open your eyes. Open your ears. Look and see. And just as Jesus reminded his disciples, there are many who will not see. There are many who will not hear. Isaiah told the people of his time, and Jesus repeats Isaiah to the people of his time, and it is true today. Jesus tells us over and over and over what the answer is. But we're always looking for something else. You know, through my years of preaching, I've been criticized regularly for different things, believe me. But one criticism that I started getting about 10, 12, or so years ago was, "Why are you always preaching about this God within us stuff?" You may have noticed. It's a theme that comes up all the time. And my response is, I'm not sure there really is anything else to preach. Because the scriptures themselves tell us this over and over and over again. God is with us. God is in us. God is around us. God is in and through all of creation. And until we know in our bones that God is not an abstract, ethereal being outside ourselves, we are those people that Isaiah and Jesus speak about, who see but do not perceive, who hear but do not listen or understand. But how do we do this? How do we do it? Teachers through the ages have taught us, but we don't listen. Our scriptures teach us, but we don't hear. Evidence is around us, but we don't see it. Mahatma Gandhi said, "Be the change you want to see in the world." I'm reminded of that nearly daily here, as Kathy has that on quote on her office door. Be the change that you want to see in the world. I'd like to share with you something that Howard Thurman says. You see, knowing the words is not the same thing as living the meaning. Suppose I memorize the printed instructions on a first aid kit. Does that mean I can give first aid? No. The full meaning comes when I admit I know nothing and then try to practice and succeed. And this brings us to our psalm. Our lives are in desperate need of stillness. We are in such desperate need of it that when we encounter stillness and silence, it makes us uncomfortable. When I first introduced the moment of silence in our worship service here at Trinity, there were some people who were very uncomfortable with it. Maybe not verbally, but you could see. Maybe some people still are. But our moment of silence is at most a minute and a half. We are in desperate need of stillness. Our lives are just filled, hectic. Our televisions are on all day long. We get in the car and our radios are on. We sit in front of computers. We are constantly being stimulated by all the stuff that's going on around us. I read an article just this morning from the New York Times about some surveys that took place after our recent midterm elections. And the result of these interviews that they did with thousands of people around the country was rather surprising. An overwhelming majority of people in our country are tired. We are fatigued by discord. We are all looking for some stillness, some peace, just a little quiet in our lives. And even when we think we're resting, our minds still race about. We sit in church services wondering what we're going to have for lunch or which football game we're going to watch this afternoon. All of this stuff just surrounds us. And our scriptures ask us to just stop, be still, look inside our souls. The little phrase from the Thurman quote says, "The full meaning comes when I admit I know nothing." It's coming to a place where we say, "I don't have the answers. Be still." And it's in this stillness that our souls will be renewed and turned and changed. It is in stillness that our lives will be replenished and nourished, because stillness is the beginning of awareness and amazement and wonder. Three things that so many of us don't even experience in our lives. And the way to experience these things is to be intentional. Take time every day to be still, to be silent, to listen, to look around us at the wonder that surrounds us. The wonderful notion that we are even here is an amazement beyond our comprehension. But it all starts right here in stillness and quiet. So I promised you something plain and simple that will change your life. Because each and every one of us has the power and the responsibility to do three simple things regularly and intentionally. They're the things that we learned as children when we were to cross a street. There are things we learned as adults when we learned to drive, when we were crossing a railroad crossing. You know what they are. Stop, look, listen. And if each and every one of us will begin to practice these simple things, to be still and know God, then we can begin to see. Then we can begin to hear. Then we can begin to understand the very simple message that Jesus, I wonder if his disciples said, Jesus, why are you always talking about this love stuff? Everything you say has to do with love. And I can imagine Jesus saying, well, no matter how I say it, no matter how I put it, you just don't seem to get it. But we have to be still. We have to stop, look, and listen. And if we do, I can guarantee our lives will change. And when our lives change, the world around us begins to change. Stop, look, listen are keys to having civil discourse in our world. Amen. My friends, in many ways, we Protestants in the Protestant Reformation threw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak, because insisting on salvation through grace alone, we threw out some sense of responsibility that each and every one of us has. And when we read our scriptures with open eyes, when we listen to the words of Jesus with open ears, we begin to hear Jesus calling us to love God, to love our neighbor, to love ourselves. Jesus calling us to be the kingdom of God, to open our eyes and realize that the kingdom is already here. Searching for God, for truth, for wisdom, for eternal life is sometimes like looking for our glasses when they're sitting on top of our heads. The kingdom of God is with us here and now. T.S. Eliot puts it this way in a brief line from a magnificently written poem that is much larger. He says, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of our exploring will be to arrive where we started and to know the place for the first time." And I think that's what Jesus is trying to do in his teachings and his parables, is trying to lead us on an exploration so that we will realize that right where we are is where we experience God's grace. And it starts right here within us. So in this season of Thanksgiving, let us go into the world not looking for the kingdom of God, but being the kingdom of God. Amen.